This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer. Bernard Madoff woke up this morning in a Manhattan jail cell, the first day of what is expected to be a life prison sentence. Madoff admitted yesterday he was guilty of defrauding thousands of investors in a Ponzi scheme, but he didn't answer all the questions in the case. NPR's Robert Smith reports.
If the Madoff scandal were a movie, it would end with yesterday's scene in the federal courthouse. The financier stands to address the packed courtroom. He admits he's a criminal. Then he says he's deeply sorry and ashamed. The handcuffs click, the victims applaud, roll the credits. But as the audience left the courthouse, no one looked like they'd just seen a happy ending. Judith Welling says it's hard to cheer when you still don't know where your $1 million went.
I mean, I think he should be in jail for the rest of his life. And I certainly approve of what's been done, but it's not giving any particular satisfaction. Satisfaction would be if we all got our money back.
The Madoff case wasn't a whodunit murder mystery. It was more like a financial kidnapping. And until someone can locate what remains of the money, investor Eileen Kent says the case is not closed.
Because there's still a lot more to uncover. U.S. attorney has a lot more work to do, and he knows it, and I have faith in him.
But it won't be easy. Madoff pleaded guilty without any sort of deal with prosecutors. He's under no obligation to lift a finger to help his former clients out. Instead, investigators will have to decipher an office full of fake documents. The investment statements that Madoff sent to his clients total $65 billion. Most of that is thought to be fiction. Another large chunk was certainly paid out by Madoff to early investors who withdrew their money. So far, investigators have only been able to locate about $1 billion. The investors who showed up to watch the guilty plea can't believe that's all there is. Jeffrey Servin is a lawyer from Philadelphia who represents three people cheated by Madoff.
Anybody who has the ability to pull this off for as long as he did knew this day was coming at some point, and it just seems logical that they made provision that when this day did come that there was a backup plan somewhere.
Perhaps in offshore accounts or under a very, very large mattress. While the search is on, the competition between investors to get the money back is heating up. Some lawyers are filing early lawsuits to get first in line for any money that might be found. Brad Friedman represents over 100 victims. He doesn't want the government trying to take that money first.
There's assets hidden all over the world. His family members obviously have assets that are the product of this scheme. And all of those assets should be made available for the benefit of the victims.
Until then, frustrated and angry investors are looking for who else they can go after. Eileen Kent, who lost 80% of her savings to Madoff, says the government needs to take some of the blame.
Yeah, we trusted him because the SEC trusted him, the Securities and Exchange Commission. The SEC turned a blind eye time and time and time again.
Others outside the courthouse wanted to know when the government was going to pursue Madoff's wife and his two sons.
I strongly suspect that this was not a solo operation. This was a family business.
Miriam Sigmund is 65 years old. She says she never had a lot of money, but all that she hoped to live on was invested with Madoff. With the money gone, Sigmund was forced to go on food stamps. She came to court to try to figure out what happened to her life, but she was leaving now without closure.
I mean, there's all this vindictiveness, and I don't feel that, oddly enough. I know. I don't share Elie Wiesel's notion that we should lock him in a cell and flash pictures of his victims. What good will that do? The good that can come out of this is the truth, and so far we've had precious little of it.
There will be another chance to hear the truth from Madoff's mouth. He'll return to the courthouse on June 16th to receive his sentence. Many of the investors say they'll be back too, looking for some form of satisfaction. Robert Smith, NPR News, New York.